The old songwriter, Frederick Leeman, put it this way. He said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Yes, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. He said in that last verse, could we with ink the oceans fill and the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Amen. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Amen. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. Boy, what beautiful. Amen. Somebody said, why do y'all keep singing out of those old hymn books? Because it's got stuff like that in it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I had prayed this week, and I'd even told my wife that I wish the Lord would give me a Valentine's message. And on Wednesday night, I had a counseling appointment, and I usually do after church on Wednesdays and Sunday night. And I was going down the hall, and little Johnny stopped me. I don't know where little Johnny's at. I'm sure he's in children's church this morning, but I'm talking about Brother Don and Miss Candace's little boy. I guess Johnny's three years old. Stopped me in the hall and gave me one of what I get many of every year. These little bitty cards that say something cute on them. How many of you got one of these? I'm sure everybody did. I have a desk drawer in my office, and always I stick them in my pocket, and I go in there, and I've got a desk drawer full of pictures that kids have drawn, and one of these days when they're grown and they're old, I'd like to spread them out for them all to see. But little Johnny gave me that card, and I stuck it, and I still had it in my hand, and the couple I was going to talk with, they were already waiting on me, and I sat down in my chair, and I just pulled that drawer open and started to drop that card in that drawer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you jerk. Maybe He don't talk to you like that, but He talks to me like that. He said, you're just going to drop that in that drawer and not even consider it or look at it. He said, somebody had to go to the store and purchase that card. Somebody thought enough about you to sit down and scribble their little name on. I ain't even sure he spelled his name right. J-O-N-N-E. Is that how he spells it? No. Isn't that precious? And I would have missed that had I just took that card out of my pocket and dropped it in that drawer with the rest of them. And I know it's not much, and it's not a costly thing, but what they say, it's the thought that counts. It meant enough to little Johnny that he had to stand in the hallway and wait on his preacher till he came down that hallway and intercept him before he got into his office so he could give him that little card. Yeah. Now that makes that card mean a whole lot more to me. Yeah, I wouldn't take nothing for it. It'll go right in that drawer, and I'll treasure it with all the others the children have given me over the years. And I thought as I sat there later on, God brought that to my mind, and I went on with my counseling appointment, and a couple of days later I began to think about it a little more, and I thought about a Valentine that I began to get when I was just a kid. I get the same one every year. It may not be on the same day, but I'd get the same Valentine note at least once a year. And it's found in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I'd even learn to quote it as a little boy. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. How many of you can quote that verse this morning? Can I say to you that's the greatest Valentine ever sent to mankind?
I'd have to say that'd be the greatest Valentine card ever meant. Most Valentines have a sentiment of some sort on. This is, I don't know where it went. It's the little cartoon movie, Cars. I love that movie. But it's about cars, and it says, Valentine, you are a real champ. Amen? So it has some little note for you on there to encourage you or to let you know that somebody thinks something about you or somebody cares for you or you're on somebody's thought and on somebody's mind. And I thought about John 3:16 where the Lord said, for God so loved the world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody said, well, that's past tense. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
He loves you now. Amen. He loved the world then. He loves the world now. Amen. Or we'd all be upside down with our back broke, naked, and in hell. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
Thank God. Amen. I'd just like to say that's the greatest Valentine ever known to man. I jotted it down somewhere. Let's see, what did I write? I counted the words in that verse. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, it contains 25 words. 25 words. That's not a very long Valentine. Last night in our Valentine banquet, we had, for some of the husbands, they had the beginning of a poem. I mean, it was just the start of a poem. And the contest was the husband had to finish the poem. And boy, we got some doozies last night. I mean, some of these rough and tough guys that I thought was, you know, just macho men and all that. You would not believe Rusty Adams, what he wrote to his wife. I thought, man, that was awesome. I mean, just some of the things these guys said. Amen. And you know what? They were longer than John 3:16. The poems that these guys repeated to their wife. Jerry Lee even wrote a poem to his wife. I thought, man, I never knew that guy had it in him. Amen. She said he don't. But these poems these guys wrote were longer than John 3:16. And what I'm trying to say this morning is how the Lord said so much in so little. If we were to explore the depths of the meaning of John 3:16, it would take a library, literally volumes, to explain it all.
Amen.
Amen. I've been saved some 26 years and I still can't explain it all. Here's what I know. I finally accepted that Valentine as a 19-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I received it every year, over and over and over. But I did just like I was about to do with this little card. I just discarded it. I heard it, I got it, but I just stuck it in the drawer with all the other ones God had sent year after year after year. But at 19 years old, I'm glad, hey, finally I realize God loves me. And I don't have to die and go to hell. All I've got to do is trust Him.
Yeah.
Amen. So I received finally that Valentine as a 19-year-old boy. I had no idea. I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea what all it included. I didn't know I was getting a package deal, did you? When I got saved, listen to me, the only thing I knew for sure was I wasn't going to hell. When I got saved, I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven when I died. I didn't get saved because I wanted my marriage to be better. I didn't get saved because I wanted my finances to get help. And that's what a lot of these TV preachers are pushing at people.
Yeah, right.
And pushing at some of you. Oh, if you just trust God, everything in your life's going to be hunky-dory. That's not the reason to get saved.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is, if you get saved, everything in your life could possibly get worse.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I just told this a few weeks ago, but I remember Charlie Ryder saying, he said, man, it wasn't this bad before I got saved. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. And I gave that illustration about seeing Brother Tommy at the hospital and the little things on the heart monitor, that up and down. The Holy Ghost said, hey, you go tell Charlie Ryder that's life.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But here's the alternative.
Yeah.
I said, give me them humps all day long, amen?
Yeah,
I didn't get saved because I didn't want to have any more trouble. I didn't get saved because I wanted my marriage to be fixed. I didn't get saved because I wanted my finances to be blessed. I got saved because I literally didn't want to die and go to hell. When I got saved, I was scared to death. How about you?
Amen.
I mean, it really bothered me that I was going to spend eternity in a place called hell.
Yes, sir.
First time I'd ever been really convicted of it in my life, 19 years old. Wow. I said, where is that Valentine? Where is that Valentine card? I believe I'll accept it now. Amen. Not just file it away in a drawer somewhere, but I believe I'll take it. But after I received it and trusted Christ as my Savior, and I began to explore the Scriptures and listen to the preaching and the teaching in Sunday school, and I saw everything that come along, I'm still figuring it out. I don't think anybody's explored the depths of God's salvation yet. I don't believe we've really scratched the surface. But I just wanted to share with you this morning just a few things that happens when you get saved. Salvation, I've said this many times, it's just the beginning. It's just the doorway. If salvation was all there was, the Lord would save you and snatch you out of here because you're His, right? But you know, He's not just interested in your soul. He's interested in your life. He's interested. He wanted you to die and go to heaven. He wanted to reconcile you back unto yourself. But while He's leaving you here, He has a purpose for your life. And He's interested in your life. He's interested in your marriage. He is. He's interested in your finances. He's interested in your health. He's interested in all those things. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, you don't have to turn to all these scriptures this morning because I've got a bunch of them. But what I'd like for you to do is write them down somewhere so you can go back and look at them later. Some of you have just gotten saved, and you're like I was. You ain't got a clue what you've got. You just know you feel better. You just know the guilt is gone. But I thought about John 3:16, where we started this morning, and I thought about how thankful I am that even though I disregarded my Creator, disregarded Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean by disregarded? Well, I took His name in vain about every other breath. I did. I had no respect for His house. I had no respect for His people. But yet He said, for God so loved the world. The one who gave me life and continues right now to give me breath. I just want to say that I'm thankful that He loved me. Amen. I'm thankful that He loved me. I've heard people say all the time, well, you just don't know what I've done. You just don't know how much He loves you. I've been to the jails to visit people. I've been to the prisons. I've seen mothers come and put their little old hand shaking against a glass to try to reach some point of contact with a son that's a violent criminal. There ain't nothing that son could do to take that mother's love away. And listen, there ain't nothing you can do to take away the love of God this morning. I just want to tell you this morning, He loves you. He loves you when you're sucking on a crack pipe. He loves you, Jason, when you're doing the methamphetamine. He loves you in the drugs and the alcohol. He loves you when you're committing adultery and not living right and not doing right. He loves you anyway. But it's what we're doing with that love. Or are we just throwing it back in His face? You know one of the hardest things in the world? To love somebody and have them not give that love back. If somebody you don't love you, you don't give a flip, right? Come on. I don't care if Lady Gaga don't love me. I won't lose one lick of sleep over it. But if that little, she left. My little green-eyed wife, wherever she went. If she looked at me today and said, I'm sorry, I just don't love you anymore. That'd kill me. It would. It would break my heart. How about you? Wonder how Christ feels. Wonder how He feels when He shows us over and over and over how much He loves us. At 19 years old, I realized not only that I was really going to die and go to hell because of my sin, but I realized that God really did love me. God really does love me. He loved me then, and He loves me now. I'm thankful that even though I broke His commandments and became His enemy, that God's Son, Jesus Christ, took my penalty. I didn't even realize I owed a debt. I didn't even realize. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Is that right? I didn't know I owed a debt. I'd heard that scripture before, but it never sunk in my mind. I didn't know I owed a debt. And it never really dawned on me that somebody stepped in and paid my debt for me. How would you like to be like some of them people on Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Somebody come in, rebuild your house, build you something brand new, get rid of all the old junk, everything that's bad, everything that's rotten, everything that's no good, haul it all away, build you something brand new, and then say, here, it's paid for in full. That's what Jesus did, but way, way more. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, if you're writing these down in verse number 10, the Bible said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. I owed a debt. I had a punishment to come. And that punishment was an eternity in hell.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ. It's that movie Mel Gibson did about where they beat the Lord and crucified the Lord and hung him on a cross at Calvary. You say, why do you have to go through all that? For me.
Amen.
For me. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
He did all that for me.
Read
Psalms chapter number 22 sometimes, and you'll see Christ in Psalms chapter 22 as our Savior.
Amen.
You'll notice him in Psalms 22. You'll see the picture of a Savior. What is a Savior? Somebody comes in and takes your bad part. He saved you from your punishment.
Amen.
Amen. Read Psalms chapter 23. You'll find him as your shepherd.
Yeah.
Read Psalms chapter 24. You'll find him as your sovereign king.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad he stepped in and paid my debt. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Amen. I'm just talking about what comes with salvation. I'm thankful that he paid my debt. I'm thankful that God's Holy Spirit continued to call me, convict me, bother me until I surrendered. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice. I wonder how many times we grew up, many of us in here, we grew up in church. A lot of us grew up in church together at White Oak. I wonder how many times we heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over. Heard some preacher, some Sunday school teacher, some bus worker say, you must be born again. I wonder how many times we heard John 3:16 all those years, but we never really heard it. It went in one ear and out the other. I'm glad one night as a 19-year-old boy, my heart was no longer hardened but softened, and the Word of God got in and began to work in my heart. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm just telling you what's included in God's greatest Valentine. I'm glad that salvation, John 3:16, that it brought the forgiveness of my sin and my rebellion, that it was a free gift and I didn't have to work or earn it to pay for it.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 9, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Listen, I hate to be mean or hateful to this crowd out riding a bicycle and trying to pull you into Mormonism. I don't want to be rough on this crowd who are trying to pull you into the Kingdom Hall and Jehovah's Witness. And you know what they're out there knocking on doors for on Saturday? They're trying to get to a place called heaven. They think somehow that they can be good enough to earn it. I've got news for you. They can't. They can do enough good works, and boy, if I'll do enough good works and pay enough money and I'll do good deeds to so many people, maybe God will let me in. That ain't the price of heaven.
Amen,
the price of heaven is the shed blood of Calvary. And you've got to accept that it is a free gift. That the Bible does say the wages of sin is death, but that's not the end of that verse. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that John 3:16 provided the free gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. Listen, when we get saved, we ought to want to do right. We ought to. We ought to want to live a better life. We ought to want to please God. We ought to want to bring others to come to know Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But we're not doing that to go to heaven.
Right.
We're doing that just because we love him.
Amen.
And we want to please him. Amen. I'm glad it was a free gift. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17, the Bible said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." I'm glad John 3:16 was a free gift. Didn't cost me a dime.
Amen.
I'm thankful when I came to Christ, He forever removed the burden of my sin and the heavy load of guilt that came with it and made me free. Amen. Now listen, we could. There's a certain crowd here this morning that I grew up with, who knew me. Some knew me well. Brother Warren English, he's one of our deacons. His wife, when we went to school, she's now Vanessa English. She was Vanessa Day. Let's see, there's Randy Massey, and there's Bubba Meadows, and there's Johnny Cash, and John English, and Jeff Cash, and Marsha Norton, and we go all around the room, and people that I grew up around. You know what? You remember my past, and I remember yours. Well, it got quiet right there, didn't it? Johnny's looking at me like, let's not advertise it, all right? Wasn't planning on it, buddy, because it included me, amen? But we remember those things. We remember the stuff that we did growing up that stupid teenagers do and we shouldn't have never had, amen? But I'm glad when God saved me, when I accepted John 3:16, it done away with all that. It done away with all that. You ever play with an Etch-a-Sketch? Y'all talk to me. The more y'all say amen, quicker we get out of here. You ever play with an Etch-a-Sketch? The grandbabies, they got one at the house. It's a little bitty one, about that big. Hayden was there the other day, and he had scribbled and scribbled and scribbled and scribbled, and he handed it to me and said, "Fix it, Pop." You know what I did? I shook it. All that was gone. All that scribble, all that mess that really meant nothing, had no meaning, didn't even resemble anything, it was gone. It was there just a second ago, but now it's gone. I'm glad when I received John 3:16 that God picked up my Etch-a-Sketch, shook it real good, and all that bad past, all those bad memories, all those sin, all the guilt, all the shame, it was gone.
Amen.
You know what I had? I had a brand new Etch-a-Sketch.
Amen,
bro. God said, "Now see if you can draw something on it worthwhile."
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Psalms 103. Verse number 12, the Bible said, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us." John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
I know I have a past, and I know you have a past, and we remember those things, but God has forgotten. Amen. And that's all part of John 3:16. "For whosoever believeth on Him." That was my only condition. All I had to do is trust what He did and believe what He did. Amen? I got about 50 more of these to go. Y'all up for it? I'm thankful that when I came to Christ, He put my name in His book of life. And I'll never again have to worry about dying and going to hell or the lake of fire. Never, ever again. I know there are people, there may be even some here this morning that would disagree with that. But wouldn't that be a horrible God? Wouldn't that be a horrible God? Could you imagine some parents adopting a little child and telling that little child, "This is now your home. You now have a good mom and daddy, and we're going to love you and care for you, and we're going to give you our name." That's what Jesus did when He saved you. Now, wouldn't that be bad if every time you messed up, He said, "If you don't do right, I'm going to take you back to the orphanage."
Yeah.
You think God had put that kind of fear on your life?
Come on,
I'm just saying, use common sense.
Yes, amen.
As a sinful human, you wouldn't do that to a kid. You think God would do that to you? No, sir. When He bought you for keeps.
Amen.
When He made you His child, it was for keeps.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
He knew He was getting a bum deal when He got you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
He knew you was going to mess up. He knew you was going to slip up and fall. He knew that. But He loved you anyway.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't ever have to worry about that again. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, the Bible said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm glad my name is there. We sing that old hymn, I know my name is there. I ask you a question this morning. Do you know your name is there? I'm glad when I accepted that gift of John 3:16. I'm glad that when I came to believe in Jesus as my Savior, He made me a heaven, a home in heaven. And one day He's going to take me there. John chapter number 14, verse number 1 through 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
I'm talking about all this is right there in John 3:16. It was a package deal. I'm still discovering. I've got about 30 more verses. I'm not going to give them to y'all this morning. But are you getting the picture?
Amen.
John 3:16 is a whole lot bigger than you ever think. I'm glad that when I received that Valentine of John 3:16, I did not realize it, but while I remain here on this earth, God has not just given me life, but He's given me abundant life. And we quoted that a while ago out of John chapter 10 and verse number 10. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants you to have a good life. We're going to have troubles and we're going to have trials. But I'll be honest with you, for most Christians I know, the good outweighs the bad. Amen.
Amen.
The good outweighs the bad. I got more to rejoice about than I do to cry over.
Amen.
Amen. I've got more to clap my hands and shout about than I do to sit around moan and groan about. Amen.
Amen.
If you're not careful, the devil will use your emotions, because by nature we focus on what's bad.
Yeah.
And forget just how good God's been.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you got kids. Some of them are sitting with you. Some of them are out in junior church and children's church this morning. They could be down at Scottish Rite. Have you forgotten just how good God's been? You say, well, money's hard and the economy and blah, blah, blah. You both think about what's good. Amen? Because God's been good. Amen? I'm glad that in John 3:16, I realize while I remain here on this earth, the Lord has seen fit to daily load me with benefits. Psalm 68 and verse number 19, the Bible said, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad for His daily mercies and compassion and faithfulness on me. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22, it said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. I didn't realize what all that John 3:6, 25 words, just by believing in Him, all this. If I could just tell you every verse I found that came with you being saved, we would be here for a month of Sundays. Amen?
Yes.
Maybe it's time you opened your card. Maybe it's time you quit throwing it in the drawer and not paying any attention to it. Maybe it's time you open that card and realize what it costs somebody. I don't know what this one costs. Maybe a nickel at the most. I know what this one cost. It cost heaven everything. God's own precious Son.
Yes.
Why did it have to be Jesus? He was the only one sinless. He was the only one perfect. He was the only one who could pay your debt. And the Bible said in the book of John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was very much God, but He was very much man. He went to Calvary and He shed His blood and He died for you. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
I appreciate the effort little Johnny went through to give his preacher this card. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful for the effort that Jesus Christ went through to give me this one.
Amen.
There was a great cost, but there was a great effort. The Bible said, like a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. While they falsely accused him, while they beat him, while the religious crowd railroaded him to Calvary,
yes,
he didn't say a word. First words out of his mouth when they hung him on Calvary's rugged cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Amen,
I'd say it's a little more than a box of chocolates, wouldn't you?
Right.
I'd say it's a great thing Christ did for me. And this morning, I gladly receive it. And I'm thankful for it. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to love him back. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, if y'all would come and get us a song. I really did have about 15 more scriptures, but I honestly felt like the Lord said, "That's enough right there." Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Nobody looking around. We're just going to have an altar call. I tell you what I'd like to do this morning. I'd like to just imagine that we just laid this great Valentine on the altar this morning. John 3:16. Maybe somebody would come and receive it. Years ago, there was a song that had a recitation in it. It was about a little homeless boy who was living in the streets on a cold and rainy night, hungry, freezing to death. He found a police officer and said, "Sir, do you know where I can get some help?" And he gave him directions to a house right downtown. He said, "Son, just go and knock on this door." He said, "And when the kind lady comes to the door, son, you just say, John 3:16. The little boy found the house, knocked on the door. The lady came and he said, John 3:16. She brought him in, took him upstairs, run him a hot bath. Little boy got out of the tub and he was drying off and he said, John 3:16. He said, "I don't understand it. It sure makes a dirty little boy clean." She got some clothes on him and brought him downstairs. Had a big plate of food fixed for him. He dug in and he began to eat and he thought, John 3:16. "I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry little boy full." She took him in the living room, pulled him up in her lap in a split-bottom rocker in front of the fireplace. He said, my, John 3:16, "I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold little boy warm." She took an old black King James Bible and she opened it. And she turned to John 3:16 and she read it to him. And there in the rocking chair in the little lady's lap, the little boy accepted Christ as his Savior. He said, my, John 3:16. "I don't really fully understand it, but it sure makes a lost little boy say, I'm thankful for John 3:16. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning said, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now if heaven would be my home. I'd really like to get that settled in my heart if you really can know. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you." If you just slip up your hand, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray that I'd get that settled in my heart." God bless you, honey. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? "Preacher, pray for me." If you can really know, God bless you, sir. If you can really know, God bless you, ma'am. If you can really know without a doubt that heaven will be your home, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Pray that I would receive this great gift. Anybody else? How about this? "Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I can tell you about the place and the time
when I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm afraid that's really as far as I've got, is salvation. I haven't begun to see the riches and the depth of what God has for my life. Preacher, pray for me that He'd get more than just my soul. Pray that He'd get my life. Hands all over His building. Thank You so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You again this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, just want to say I love You too. I don't understand, Lord. I'm like that little boy. I don't understand it. How You could love me. Like the old song says, a sinner, condemned, unclean. I stand amazed, Lord. It's a good thing I'm not You. But Lord, it's sure a great thing You are who You are. Thank You for loving me. Lord, thank You for loving these. Father, You've seen every hand. You know every heart. Lord, help us to receive everything You've got for us. Help us not to miss it. Lord, that we might really know the joy of the Lord. Father, please just have Your way. Don't let anybody leave lost. Don't let anybody leave with a need in their heart. God, You help them today, and we'll thank You. We'll praise You, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.